may never come. For you or me, life is not promised. Tomorrow may never show up.
Now, we're bringing you a special segment from our archives that grew out of our partnership with Urbanite magazine, which unfortunately is no longer in existence. In 2010, I talked to Correctional Officer Maurice Smith of the Metropolitan Transition Center in Baltimore about a prison garden program he ran where inmates grow food and flowers and help to maintain a serene and welcoming corner in an otherwise very stark, sad, and dangerous place. Enjoy. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome to another one of our Urbanite radio stories. In this issue of the Urbanite, there's an article called Gray Gardens, a really walled garden, and it's about a prison in our community with a garden inside of it, and a prison guard came back to work to run it. His name is Maurice Smith, and Maurice Smith is with us here in the studio. Maurice, good to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is really a fascinating story. So tell us, first of all, a bit about you. You were a prison guard for how long?
Well, I was a correctional officer for 20 years.
There is a difference in how you say it. I said prison guard, you said correctional officer.
Yes. Correctional officer, we professionals.
Right.
We are definitely professionals. So we are correctional officers. And I started in 86, retired in 2007, and came back in 2008 to help with the meditation garden.
So why did you come back?
Well, most part, well, for the money, but a lot of my friends who still work there, supervisor, asked me to come back and help with the garden because a lot of them didn't know what to do.
You called it a meditation garden. So tell me what was the program and that brought you back in? What is this meditation garden idea?
Well, in 2006, we received a grant from the TKF Foundation to do a meditation gardens for the inmates.
And they build meditation gardens all across the state, I understand.
All the city, yes. All the state and city, yes. And it was basically for inmates to have somewhere to sit and to, you know, gather their thoughts together and to relax and to enjoy the environment. And there was journals there that they can jot down their feelings and their apologies or whatever.
So this is not like a vegetable garden we're talking about.
It was more than that.
We grow
vegetables too, but it's more than that. It's more than uh-huh. that. It's a place where inmates can, you know, to release their pinned up anxieties and what have you, being locked up and everything. They can come there and relax and find peace and comfort there. And they can, like, you know, deal with their thoughts. And a lot of them wants to help. They see what's going on with the fish pond and everything and the flowers and the vegetables, and they really want to help. A lot of them even volunteer to help. Some of them who goes on the garden pay list are paid a salary, but most of them just want to do it because it's relaxing, and they find fulfillment and, you know, a sense of accomplishment in that.
So I'm curious how, taking a step backwards for just a minute because of what you just said, as a correction officer for all those years, how you view those men?
Well, you know, I mean, because to tell you the truth, when I first got there, I wasn't used to prison. I'd never been arrested. I had some family members who'd been arrested, and I thought it was just a bunch of, you know, malcontents, you know, just, but it's
hoodlums,
not true.
Thugs.
Yeah, the hoodlums,
throwaways,
thugs,
right,
throwaways.
Right.
But they're not true. A lot of them just had an unfortunate childhood, and it ended up that way. But a lot of them are really talented, you know, people who really wants a good life, who wants to, you know, be a productive citizen, but they just need a break.
That must be frustrating sometimes as a correctional officer all those years to know that there's so many of the men that were overseeing as a correctional officer wanted so desperately to lead a different life, and how difficult that was for them to do that given the circumstance.
Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult because, you know, a lot of the neighbors that grew up and all they seen was, you know, poverty and despair. That's all they know. That's all they knew. And I came from some of the same neighborhoods, neighborhood. And when I was younger, I had doubted my future, too. I really doubted my future. I didn't see a way out. I didn't see, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel, per se, until I went to Job Corps. And when I went to Job Corps, I went to Clearfield, Utah, Job Corps, when I got out of high school.
Where'd you go?
Clearfield, Utah.
Utah. Okay.
Up in the mountains in Utah. I want to get as far away from the city as possible. Uh-huh. And I, when I was there, I met people from all over the country. There was corpsmen from every state there was. Mm-hmm. Maybe all 50 states, there was a corpsman there representing that state. And I learned that there is a better life out there, but it's up to you to go out and get it. You got to seek it. You got to know what you want and seek it. And I took up, when I was there, I took up printing, offset printing, paraprofessional, and I'm cooking. And, you know, it really helped me out. It really gave me a, it really grounded me to know what I really want out of my life and how to get it now, because I know how to get it now. And I came back home, and, you know, I always loved gardening because my mother and grandmother, they were gardeners. They would die in the war. Gardeners. Mm-hmm. And I always been fascinated by plants and how plants grow and how plants, you know, produce the flowers and come back next year and everything and reproduce and this, that, and the other. And I wanted to become a gardener, a professional gardener, a farmer, really. I really wanted to be a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard about this organization called Baltimore Master Gardeners. And I said, let me be a master gardener, right? And I called them, and I got into the course. And I took the course.
Oh, you did that? You took the master gardener
course? I took the course, yes. I'm a master gardener intern right now. All I got to do is put in 40 community hours, and I'll be a master gardener.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So some of this work you're doing in the meditation garden in the prison, is that part of your 40 hours? Something separate?
I will hope so, yes. Because a lot of time I will come in and I'll stay over whatever and help the inmates, and I will, you know, do the best I can and help them.
So your passion is not just is for the men, but also for the earth.
Right.
And what comes out of it.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
Do you have a garden at home?
Well, I have an apartment now, but I have a garden.
Hard to have a garden in an apartment.
Yeah. Yes, you can. You can have a garden. I have all my plants are in pots. I have a container garden on my balcony. When I was living downtown, I had a container garden out front of the apartment building and on my back porch. And I just brought it to my balcony. You can garden anywhere. All you need is light and some place to put a plant in.
That's great. I love that. So the meditation garden in the prison, it's at the Metropolitan Transition Center, right?
Right. Which used to be the Maryland Penn. It used to be the old Penn.
So where's this garden?
The garden inside the jail. It's inside the jail.
It's in the yard.
It's in the yard. It's in two sections. The one section is flowers and, like I said, the goldfish pond. And then the other section is vegetables, just vegetables. And there's a bench in each section where the inmates can sit down and meditate and think about, you know, things, and they help out with the gardening.
So do men actually use this garden to sit and meditate?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Huh. So tell me about some of the men you work with. Tell me about some of the men who work in this garden.
Well, a lot of the inmates, they really get excited about it. They really get excited about it. And they're just begging me to hire them, or a lot of them say, I just do it for nothing. I just want to, you know, help. And a lot of them, you know, come from backgrounds where they don't know, they never seen a vegetable grown, you know. They never seen, a lot of them ask me what an eggplant, we grow eggplants every year. And it was a lot of inmates asking, what is that? And I say, it's an eggplant. What is that? You know, they don't know what an eggplant is. A lot of them had never seen vegetables grown because they come from in the city.
Right.
And when they see, they fascinate. They become like children. They become fascinated and want to know more about it. And they want the help and this, that, and the other.
So what do you grow in this garden? What do the men grow in this garden?
The names. Okay. We use raised beds. And it was eggplants, zucchini, squash, different kind of squashes, summer squash, zucchini, and stuff like that. We grow cantaloupes. Corn. The corn just started producing now. Mm-hmm. And we grow beets. We have all kinds of herbs. And we made 6 more beds to lay out more herbs. And we had kale, sunflowers. Sunflowers is a vegetable because, you know, you get sunflower seeds from that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got 6 more beds that we made, and we're going to fill them up and grow more things. Probably like stuff like kale and cabbage for the fall garden.
So I understand that when this garden started that they tried to get this to the food to us, to kitchen for the homeless, but it didn't work.
I suggested that we give it to the house down in East Baltimore.
Yes. Big Addy,
yes. I was told we couldn't do that because of the legal ramifications of it. Something might, you know, somebody might get sick or something like that, and then we'd be in, you know. So we just, the inmates eats it, or the officers might come and take some home and cook, and they tell them how delicious it is, you know. But the inmates, some of the inmates, when they take the soup boxes that you get, they get from the commissary, and they add the vegetables to the soup box when they put the hot water
in. Oh, the ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles and such, yeah.
Right, right.
And they add the vegetables to it and everything, and they tell me it's really good. Okra. The favorite thing is the okra. They will add the okra to the soup, and they will eat it.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So one of the guys is quoted as saying in the article, Isaac, I guess his name is, Willie Isaac, who is 54 years old, and he did a lot of time
and he's on this transition center, and he said, "This takes me away from the other side of life. There's nothing more beautiful to see life continuing growing. I'm here. You can't hear a baby cry. The next best thing is to see a flower bloom."
Right. A lot of MS come to the garden and escape their troubles or their condition they're in. They will escape in the garden. An MA told me that sometimes when he gets upset with the officers, like another MA, he gets really upset. He comes and look at the flowers, and it really calms him. He really feel calm and relaxed when he look at the flowers, how beautiful they are.
You know, you don't think about this. I mean, I was before we started this conversation, and I was starting to look at some articles about gardens and prisons. And these gardens are like this all over the country. I mean, they're doing them in the San Quentin prison at Rikers Island. The Penn is also some of the hardest jails you can imagine in the country that these gardens are growing in. The California Institute of Women for Women, they're doing it all over Wisconsin. There's 24 different institutions in the McNeil Island Correction Center in Washington State. Just everywhere you can imagine that this is becoming kind of a movement. And here you are trying to tend this small garden.
It's not a small garden. The inside of Maryland Penn is pretty large.
How big is it?
I don't know the exact footage, but it's pretty large.
But what you were saying before we went to the studio was that you thought these kind of programs needed to be larger and what they could do for inmates that they really had
not a chance. Not just inmates, everybody, especially children in the inner city. We Master Gardeners of Baltimore helped out in the inner city with their gardens too. And my opinion is, a garden is a soothing thing. A lot of people take plants for granted, you know, but plants do everything for us that needs to be done. Plants feeds us, clothes us. We live with plants, build structures for us. Plants make us feel good. Plants make us feel bad. And plants really is a soothing thing. It's like music. Plants are like music. Mm. The right plant can really put you in a calming state of mind, either inside or outside.
Does it do that for you?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I could stare at a plant all day long. People think I'm crazy, but I do. I just love plants since I was a kid. I was amazed by seeds, how the seeds germinate. And I would take all kinds of seeds in the kitchen, corn, beans, everything my mother had in the kitchen, you know, and put them in little glass jars and put wet napkins over them and watch them germinate. I was amazed by that. I was really amazed by that. And the Master Gardener program taught me the fundamentals of, you know, caring for these plants and raising them, dealing with them, helping them, and, you know, all about them.
So also that I was reading in this article that the way it's – let me read you a little line from the article and see how it, if it fits your thoughts about what you see there for real, right? It says – this is when they were talking to you. It said, "It makes for an odd juxtaposition, the lavender puffballs of a variegated hydrangea, a tropical hibiscus, showy salmon-colored blooms, a cluster of golden zinnias, all amid the wire walls and watchtowers of an otherwise joyless prison yard." And the garden surrounds the basketball court and weightlifting area in a series of raised beds. And so I'm curious, I mean, how that is almost seemingly contradiction for some people to think about these gray prison walls and the depression of being locked up.
Well, you know, a lot of people, inmates or non-inmates, live in their own little personal prisons. They get a certain idea of how things are supposed to be and how things should be, and they're locked in that. They don't understand that nothing is black or white. Everything's in shades of gray. And plants can really take you to that place of loveliness, of calm, you know, take you to a utopia that, you know, you just can't get just walking up down the streets. And it's, when I drive through Baltimore City and I see, you know, the rundown conditions, some of the inner cities, and I feel so sad that, you know, that these children have to live with that. Now, that's a prison. That's a gray world. All they see is, you know, rundown buildings, trash on the street. And what I want to do, if I ever hit the Mega Million,
yeah,
I'm going to green up Baltimore. I'm going to green it up. I'm serious.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing, especially children. Children are really curious by nature, and they're really fascinated by plants. They really are.
You really do see the kind of spiritual power of these gardens.
Yes, it's a spiritual power. It's a spiritual power. It is.
So have any of the men who are working on this thing are outside now?
Well, yes, they have. But some of them, you know, they told me, I met one or two on the street, and they said, you know, because of me, they can sustain themselves, because you know the jobs they get are not very lucrative. So what they do, they take the little lawn, they take their gas lawnmowers and go around and cut people's grass and help them with their garden, and they get paid for that.
You know, it's interesting. There was a story that I read about the gardens in Detroit, that prison gardens in Detroit, mm-hmm. and it was a very moving piece. And one of the things the story talked about was this man who had done 30 years in prison. And the social worker who had worked in that prison for 30 years and was running this kind of garden program, his name was Bear, and that he talked about his transformation from being this angry bear,
right,
which is why they called him mm-hmm. Bear, to becoming this man of peace. And I couldn't help but think about how, when I look at these programs around the country and what you're trying to do here with the inmates in this garden in the prison, how we don't take seriously sometimes the transformative nature of this kind of work, of putting your hands in the earth and watching things grow, what it can do to change
extremely therapeutic. It is because it's like a woman having a baby. 9 months, the baby grows in her, then she has the baby, and she feels as though it's a miracle. It's a miracle to her. Plants are the same way. You put a seed in the ground, you give it water, you nurture it, you love it, and it either gives you beauty or it gives you food. Either way, it's spiritual, you know. It just makes you just feel good about yourself. You accomplish something, and the thing you accomplish won't talk back to you, won't attack you, won't steal from you, won't let you down. Like a pet, uh-huh. Like a dog.
So, I mean, this is something that, this is a passion for you to do this.
It is. It's a passion. I spend a lot of money on plants. It's a passion. I love it. And every time I go to the store, now I get a lot of free stuff because I tell people, you know, in the nursery and stuff, what I'm doing, they give me like free stuff and everything. And I ask, when I see something like, you know, tulips, for instance, some tulip bulbs can be very expensive. So I research. I like to do research too. And I research tulip and back in the Turks and everything back in the 16th, 14th century would spend their fortunes on tulip bulbs.
Right.
You heard about that? Yeah.
Right.
Would spend their whole fortune on tulip bulbs,
right,
you know?
Right.
They was like gold, more than gold then. And I understand that now because a plant is a beautiful thing. You can't, money cannot replace what a plant can do for you.
You're quoting the article as saying that the garden is one area we never have problems with drugs, fighting, or contraband.
We don't. All they want to do is work. That's all they do. All they want to do is work.
And eat a tomato occasionally.
Yeah. Or squash. Or eggplant.
Which is okay.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. That's what they're there for, to be eaten.
So if you had your dream of knowing all the men you've worked with in prison and your years working inside, could you see a program like this kind of transforming more than just the men who are in it, a program that's wider than this?
I will take this program to schools, universities, churches, neighborhoods, everywhere. Because a lot of people don't understand the importance of plants. If it wasn't for plants, we wouldn't be here. We would not be here if it wasn't for plants. And a lot of people don't understand the importance of plants. And if it wasn't for plants, we wouldn't be here. Plants do everything for us. It cures. The plants cures us. And now a lot of the rainfalls are being destroyed and everything, and we are losing cures. There might be a cure for AIDS, a cure for cancer, and a plant somewhere that we are destroying. We just take plants for granted, and I don't think that's right.
Well, this has been an eye-opening thing, I think, for our listeners to hear, and I wish there were kind of more Maurice Smiths in the world, more of these meditation gardens, and more meditation gardens in our prisons and in our cities for people to take part in. I hope that one day I can come walk through your garden with you.
Sure.
I'd love
anytime.
To
just give us a call. We'd be glad to have you down there.
Maurice Smith, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and an honor to have you in the studio.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
On our way to break, we're listening to Everything Gonna Be All Right by Big Mama Thornton, born on this day in 1926. When we come back, we'll hear my conversation with Freda Berrigan. Stay with us.